You are listening to the Authentic Hot Wife podcast, where I, a relatively green Australian hot wife in her early 30s, shares my stories, experiences, and reflections of exploring the hot wife lifestyle with my loving partner. This is a podcast about the successes, lessons, and pitfalls of experimenting with consensual, ethical, sexual non-monogamy. This is an adult-only, 18-plus podcast and contains explicit content. Please listen at your own discretion. Hi there, and welcome to the second episode of the Authentic Hot Wife podcast. Thanks for joining me for this second episode, and I have news. I'm really, really excited to share that two nights ago we had, my partner and I had our first hot wife encounter where he was present. I have only had one other encounter than that, and he was not present, and it didn't go super well. So we've decided that he does need to be present for my encounters, and we did it. And I am very pleased to say it went really well. It went as well as we could have hoped for. There were, you know, there's things after now, say like a day and a half after, that I'm like, oh, you know, I want to maybe do a couple things a little differently, but it definitely feels like we're on the right track. I am not going to go too much into detail about that encounter right now, but I will make the next episode about that particular encounter. So I hope you're well. What I will be talking about today is all the previous encounters we've had. And it's not much, you know. I am relatively new in terms of, well, just relatively green in terms of my experiences. And it's like, even though we've been, at, you know, having a go at this lifestyle, this hot wife lifestyle for the last, say, 5.5 years when it was first proposed to me by my partner, we haven't done that much in person. And I think it's just taken this much time for us to feel really confident doing it. I'm glad it's taken this long, because now that it's finally happened, it's like, oh, you know, we're very, 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 very clear now about how we want it to go. And I just don't think there's any rush to get into it now. Now that we've done it, it's like, well, I would do that same 5 years again, you know, how it was, just waiting for the right time to pursue the in-person hot wife encounter. So what I wanted to talk about today, as I said, was all the experiences before leading up to this. The experiences that we have had were largely with online chatting. There were a couple in-person experiences where I did meet people, and so much has been learned even just through chatting to people. So we have a list of approximately 34 rules that we've written down. There may be more, or some might come off, like it's an ever-evolving list. But though, you know, and we've had fights, you know, and I was hesitant to say that, because I thought, you know, every time we have a fight that's related to hot wife, I'm like, ah, oh, why are we doing this? But then we keep coming back to wanting to do it and experiment with it. It's something we're both just into. It's something we both find hot. It's something we both want to explore until it's no longer hot, I guess, you know, when that happens, if that happens. But I think it allows us to learn a lot about each other. And it's really reinforcing how important trust and communication is when exploring this kind of lifestyle. And I just think that ripples out, you know, into the rest of your relationship. So something else I wanted to clarify before we go into the rest of the episode is that, and I did refer to my partner as my fiance in the first episode, and I also used our initials, to identify us. I'm not going to do that anymore, just for that little bit of extra discretion and anonymity. I will just refer to myself as I. I think I don't have a pseudonym. I'm the authentic hot wife, I guess. And my partner, we had a chat about it. So we were supposed to get married last month. We couldn't because of COVID-19. We were one of those, you know, wedding casualties. We couldn't fly interstate to have the wedding when we wanted to have it and how we wanted to have it. So we actually postponed the wedding twice. And I did feel a lot of grief about it. I'm over it now and I'm just hanging out for, you know, hopefully in 2021 we'll be able to have, you know, our wedding with the friends and family that we want present. But, you know, we might have to be flexible about that. We shall see. I'm not thinking too hard about it right now. What we actually did do was we did say some vows over a Zoom with our celebrant. And that was really lovely. So nothing legal. We're not legally married. However, we did publicly make promises to one another. We made vows to one another. And, you know, afterwards we had a lot of people congratulating us, almost like we had gotten married. I think it did serve to legitimize us more as a couple in a way. And people are sort of starting to see us more as a quite a committed couple, like an almost married couple. So we are going to be indulgent. And I'm going to refer him to him as my husband while I'm doing this podcast. He was meant to be my husband already. He feels more comfortable with that while I'm making these recordings. So while it's not technically accurate that he is my legal husband, you know, we've been together 5.5 years. We were supposed to be married and, you know, the chips fell the way that they did. But, you know, hopefully it's not offensive to anyone who's really precious about marriage. You know, we are already living in a husband and wife kind of way as it is, just without the bit of paper. So that's that clarified. So I will be referring to him as hubby and doing my very best not to identify us too much. I'm sure you can understand why. We are not an out hot wife couple. We are actually a very wholesome couple. We live in a very family-friendly suburb by choice. You know, we don't party. You know, people think of us as quite wholesome, I do believe. And so this is a total, you know, U-turn from how we portray ourselves in our everyday lives. I do believe we are genuinely a wholesome couple, but we like hot wife. And it's feeling really normal to us, I guess, especially after that experience went really well the other night. So anyway, it is what it is. So I'm glad I've got that cleared up. So I'm just going to start talking now about our experiences so far and the lessons that have come up from them. The lessons we've learned, some of the rules that we've put in place. So, you know, I said in the first episode how I was introduced anyway to the hot wife concept was via hubby. He, you know, on our third date pitched it to me as, you know, this is a lifestyle that I would want in my future relationship. And I went for it. I was into it. I was curious about it. It was something I wanted to know more about. And so we did research. And a lot of the stuff that was coming up was the cuckolding stuff. And so we, you know, admittedly went down that train of thought for a while. And we were in a perpetual state of confusion. And it wasn't until a couple years later, even four or five years down the way, that sort of resolved itself fully, where it was like, oh, we're just not a cuckold couple. We're more of a stag vixen type thing where there's no power dynamic. There's no humiliation. He just wants to share me. He wants to watch me with someone else. And the way he described it the other night was, you know, it's like, you know, getting to watch your favorite porn star in real life, which I find very flattering. And I love that he explained it that way. Yeah, so we started off with chatting. We set up a dating profile just on like a standard free online dating website. And initially I ran it. So I would find guys, it was me logging in, and I would have to send him like heaps and heaps and heaps of screenshots. So there was still transparency, but because it was a lot of effort to send heaps and heaps and heaps of screenshots, sometimes I would just read things out to him, but there was always the option to be super transparent. So there's only a few standouts like over these last 5 years. I'm sure I've talked to more guys, but these are like the key experiences. So the first guy, I don't really know how to refer to him. He was a little crazy. So he definitely went down the cuckolding track. He had this picture, and like, you know, now in retrospect, like we very rarely verified people back in the day, even up till just now, like just recently. So a lot of these guys could have just been using fake pictures, and I would have no idea. But whether that was his real picture or not, he was a cutie. I found him really attractive in his pictures, and we talked about meeting up. I talked to him a lot, and I would send him like naughty pictures. And often the scenarios he would describe, I was actually living out of state at that time, so we were doing a little bit of long distance, which was lucky, but I was chatting to guys in our hometown. So it was kind of lucky that I didn't actually have many opportunities to really go on dates. Hubby was up for it, for me to date people in that area where I was living, but I don't know, I just wasn't into it. It was a small place and it just never happened. So this particular guy, who maybe I'll just refer to him as crazy, because he was full on and he was very aggressive in his messages. He would talk about, it got to the point where he was talking about punching hubby in the face, and kind of stealing me away. And I don't know, it was just really full on. It got really, really full on. But so something else we're into, and I found out the actual word for this, and I hope I'm going to say it properly. The word is candleism. And what that means is guys who like to dress up their partner, wife, girlfriend, whatever. So they pay for her to, you know, they might pay for her to get her haircut and her nails done and her makeup and, you know, buy clothes for her. And they just love making their partner sexy or helping to make her sexy and having this really sexy partner and then showing her off in whatever way, shape, or form. So there's an actual word for it. I'll try it again. Candleism. Could be wrong. So we were into that. Like, I think we're still super into that. We love doing little photo shoots at home because my partner works away. I'll often get really dressed up, but as I started doing that more this year, and I actually used to do it when we first started dating. So there was this period where I stopped doing it. But when we first started dating, and most recently, you know, this year in particular, I really ramped it up. I would get really sexy for him. And he would ask, you know, he would tell me what he wanted me to wear. And then before we really did anything, you know, he might kiss me and touch me and hug me. And then we would take photos while I was, you know, newly, you know, just really ready before he went and, you know, had his way with me. So, you know, so that was the first time we did pictures for someone else was with this guy, this crazy guy. And we had a nickname for him. Actually, it was like his username that he had on Kik. So we use Kik as our messaging device because you can be anonymous on there. It's not linked to any of your phone numbers or anything like that. So I found some stockings actually in Honey Birdette. And we bought like a nice little, we bought like suspender type stockings. And That day, actually, when we did that photo shoot for this, well, sort of for this guy, he also paid for me to get my makeup done at Napoleon, and bought a whole bunch of makeup for me. It was such a splurge, but I felt amazing. Like, I felt like a princess. And the makeup lady was like, "Oh my God, you're so lucky," because it was like $500 worth of makeup. But anyway, that was how we were. My partner was making really, really, really good money then, working on a particularly well-paid project. And so I was happy to play that role, naturally. And he bought me, you know, the lingerie and the suspenders and the stockings. And that the stockings had the username of this guy that I had been chatting to. So we took these really sexy photos that showcased this nickname. And I was in really good shape then. I was working in kind of a semi-physical job, like in hospitality. So, you know, I was in good shape, and I still absolutely adore those photos. Like, we went into a hotel room, took these really sexy photos. I think he bought me some really nice shoes as well, like these really cute shoes that I cannot walk in, but they look great in photos. And I had an anklet, he bought me an anklet as well, you know, which is the signifier of hot wife. And but the thing was, I sent this guy these photos that had his nickname on the stockings, and then he just ghosted me for like a week, and then that was kind of it was sort of a bit done, which I'm glad for, because he was really quite off the rails. I'm trying to think what I suppose one of the lessons out of him was, people can ghost. They just can ghost. And, you know, don't get like overly invested in like one person. I don't know. I was just, I don't know, really, in, I don't know, invested in, I don't know, in being him. I don't know. And also like no aggression. Like, it was just way, way too much aggression. So then, really, the next one after that was a guy I met in an acting workshop. And at that time, again, you know, the dynamic was still like, we were sort of hesitantly doing a cuckoldy type thing, but it didn't, you know, like, it never really worked. So hubby would communicate to me that he liked certain aspects of what we were doing, but we could just never put our finger on like what was not quite right. And we were being open-minded and experimental. And so the next guy after that, the next guy after that, what should we call him? We'll call him dinner guy. I went to dinner with him. So again, I was still in really good shape back then, and I wore this gorgeous, like, I paid so much attention to detail. I like got my nails done, like a really gorgeous shade of red. I wore red lipstick. I straightened my hair. I think I'd had like a fresh haircut. My hair was like right down, you know, to my waist. I wore a, you know, your classic tiny black dress, and just hugged every curve. So I was, you know, I was working it that night, and I had been chatting to this guy, and I suppose it was pretty, he was polite, he was respectful. So there was no issues around the aggression. His pictures look cute, but I didn't check how tall he was, which I do now. And we screen for height, because I am, you know, I'm like a tall average size girl, but you know, if I'm with like an average size guy, I just like tall guys who make me feel short. So like, I'm like 5'7", so I like want like minimum 6 foot thereabouts. And I think I just had like my, you know, our standards weren't very high at that time, because it was like, oh, as long as he's got, you know, no, he's not overly aggressive. He was polite, he was respectful, and I was like watching a lot of like threesome porn and like double penetration porn, and I was horny one night while I was talking to him, and I was like, oh, I'd love to have a threesome, you know, I'd love to like try double penetration. I don't know what I was thinking. And so he was like, yeah, cool. I've got a friend that I go to the gym with. And I was like, oh, these like hot gym guys are going to like have their way with me. So again, we got a hotel room. This is where I got all like primed and pretty. And hubby sat there and watched me, you know, with his heart beating out of his chest because he wasn't going to be there. You know, he wasn't, again, he was in the background. He wasn't playing an active role. He wasn't going to be present. And if things did go well during dinner with this guy, I was going to bring him and his friend back to the hotel room while hubby, you know, waited downstairs and walked around and, you know, kept himself occupied. So he went and dropped me off at the restaurant and he gave me the money to pay for my dinner with this guy. And this was like a really nice restaurant, like one of the best restaurants in our city kind of thing. And I went in and then I waited and then the guy came and I was just like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh no, because he was a little bit short, not like overly, like maybe he was the same height as me, but I could just immediately tell like he's not my type. And the other thing was when he greeted me, like it, you know, it's fair to say he was probably nervous, but he just didn't have a really strong masculine kind of charming take charge kind of energy. Like it was like he was like a boy trying to play a man's role in that kind of scenario, and you do need a level of maturity for that kind of play. And so I don't know, I just felt like I was at dinner with a teenager, even though he was like around my age. Just he just didn't have any presence about him, and his eye contact with me was really weird, and he didn't compliment me at all, which I felt was really off given the amount of effort I had gone to. And like, that's kind of the whole thing, I guess, you know. But again, we're meeting these guys on dating sites. They're not adult sites. So, you know, we're going to come across kind of like average people who don't understand how to interact in that scenario or really how to understand it. And yeah, so I had an expensive dinner with this guy and the conversation was like a real drag. I did not find him interesting. I found him a little superficial. He did not compliment me. The eye contact was weird. And I just, like, my stomach was just, it had just dropped. And I was like, I don't see this happening. I do not find this guy attractive. Like, why didn't I meet him beforehand? You know, why did I just jump straight into this scenario without like screening him properly? And then we went to meet hubby and the other guy. And actually, I think what I did was I like called or messaged hubby and I was like, oh, I want to meet up with you now. Like, I want you to meet with us and then I want to get rid of him. And which is like, I'm not... No, I don't feel like I would be like that under normal circumstances. Like I would manage it a bit better, but I was feeling a lot of emotion and frustration and I don't know. So we met up with hubby and like he was polite and he was respectful and he was really well-mannered. He went to the bar to get a drink and I said to hubby straight away, it's not happening. I am not feeling this. And then we met the friend. So he goes to the bar to get the friend. And the guy is like even younger looking, even more, I don't know, immature seeming. Like both, as far as like they go as just human beings, both really lovely, well-mannered, respectful. I can't fault them as people. But for this scenario, like that's, it was, you know, ultimately it was on us. Like we just didn't know how to screen people, you know, how to set the bar, what could possibly go wrong. So yeah, so we met the both of them and then I think, you know, he went to get another drink or something, like the main guy, dinner guy. And I think I just went to the bar and I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm not feeling it. We're going to go now. And he was like, oh, okay. And I was like, okay, thank you. Have a good night. And then we went back to the room and like, I just didn't have my emotions under wrap and I just felt really bad. And you know, hubby, like he was actually really lovely that night and I wasn't feeling up for anything. I was just really disappointed. I don't know. Now looking back, I'm like, oh, you know, I know better now. Like I know better not to get so frustrated and disappointed. But it really hit me at the time. But anyway, like, we moved on from that, but we just didn't try anything again. It was difficult, really challenging having, you know, a partner working away and, you know, being able to make time for stuff. And we had other things going on in life. So, you know, another year or whatever drifted by and we didn't really do that much. Maybe I chatted to some guys, like, I really don't know. And then we get to guy number three. Guy number three of significance. So I met this guy in an acting workshop. So I'm going to call him acting guy. And this situation was different because I wasn't looking for anything, right? But we got paired up in this free acting workshop that we both, you know, happened to attend. And we had to play boyfriend and girlfriend who were having a heated argument. And he, I suppose when I saw him, I was like, oh, he's a little bit cute. He was actually like a short guy. Like, he was, you know, my height-ish. However, but I could see he was like athletic and he had a cute haircut and he had a nice face. And there was something about, you know, being in that situation. I'm pretty confident, I guess, in those kinds of situations, or confident enough. But he was terrified. Like, he was really nervous about having to perform this little piece that we got allocated. So I helped him with his lines. And then it ended up being more of an improv type of thing anyway. But he was so nervous. And so I guess in that moment I was, yeah, offering support to him. I was being encouraging, like, we're a team and it's completely fine and let's not overthink it. And I helped to establish what our backstory was. And we did the scene and he did really well, you know, considering he was terrified, really, really nervous. And I remember that day I was wearing these tiny shorts, these like tiny denim shorts, and I had my long hair out. And he told me later that he did find me like really cute. So at the end of the acting workshop, everybody added everyone on Facebook. And I didn't add him, like, I kind of left before we had to have that exchange because I was feeling some chemistry with him. But then he added me later. So when I went home, I told my partner about it and I told my partner, like, oh, I had a bit of chemistry with this guy, but it's nothing, you know, and I didn't add him on Facebook, but then he added me later. And then we, you know, so I was fully transparent with hubby. Like I said, you know, like, cause the guy sent me a message and I was like, you know, he's messaged me. And yeah, so I had this little exchange with him. I kept it pretty, you know, kept him kind of at arm's length and tried to shut the conversation down after a little while. And then I don't really remember what happened. I think he ended up reaching out again or something, or maybe we'd, you know, been talking about Hot Wife again. And I was like, oh, I remember that guy I had chemistry with. So it was actually hubby's birthday. And I believe this was 2.5 years ago. So it was his birthday and we were talking again about Hot Wife. And Hot Wife was something that, like, whenever we were making love, it would like come up and we'd be like dirty talking about scenarios and, oh, what if you did this and would you do this? So it, even though it kind of went into the background, like it was still there. Like, it was still there in our sex life. So I think at this time for his birthday, it was this naughty thing of like, oh, what if I fucked another guy on your birthday? And there was still this kind of like half cuckoldy vibe and, you know, trying to figure it out. And he agreed. And I think he agreed because he was just like, you know, let's just give it a go. Like, we need to move forward with this. So I'm messaging the guy and I'm being like a little flirty and I was just trying to suss him out. And then I just put the proposal out to him and I said, look, you know, I've got a, well, we were just boyfriend and girlfriend at that time. So maybe it was 3.5 years ago because we weren't engaged then. Maybe it was 3.5 years ago. So I reached out to the guy and I explained the situation of, you know, we're into this thing where I'm allowed to be with other guys. And, you know, how would you feel about coming over tonight? To which he replied, yeah, sure. I can do that. So I was genuinely surprised that he said yes to it so readily, but I think he was into me. So he was like, yeah, sure. So he, you know, so like it was like that day we had decided, yeah, we're going to take the plunge. And then all of a sudden it was happening. So hubby went to hang out at his family's home and I got ready. I think he was there while I was getting ready, actually. So he watched me get ready. And because I didn't have an awful lot of time, like I didn't get dressed up like really, really sexy or anything, just kind of casual, sexy, cute. You know, I'm not trying too hard, but, you know, you know, I highlighted my key features pretty well. And so hubby left and he came around and he actually brought a bottle of wine, but I'm a non-drinker. I think he still opened the bottle and had a glass of wine himself. And we just talked about like just normal human being stuff. But he didn't, you know, he told me things like he was rethinking his path in life and he was thinking of moving away and he was seeing a life coach who was helping him through some stuff. And yeah, so I guess, you know, there was a little bit of like openness and genuineness and a genuine connection between us. So I felt I was ready to go with him. I was turned on. I felt like I was into him as well in a sexual way. And I felt, I guess being in an acting workshop, you know, you tend to open yourself up. There's a feeling of vulnerability and then therefore that leaves room for connection. But once it got going, it was hot. And so we were like making out on the couch. And yeah, I just remember thinking like, oh, he knows what he's doing. He was a really good kisser. He was a really good kisser. And he was more aggressive than I expected he would be given this sort of vulnerable, more timid side that he'd shown me. But he was like, he was, you know, slightly aggressive. You know, he knew what he wanted and he kind of went for it. I paused at some stage after a bit of foreplay to message hubby and I just thought he would be into it. Like I thought he was like over where he was just really into it, you know, probably, you know, jealous and feeling a lot of strong emotion. But I never imagined that as it turned out, he was feeling extreme anxiety. So basically I went off and, you know, things went to the bedroom with this guy. We had a really good sexual experience. He had a nice penis. He was just that touch dominant that I really like. You know, basically he had his way with me. He like well and truly had his way with me. And I came twice and I was just really turned on. At the end, like I was, you know, like this is my first time being with a guy that's not my partner for the first time, I guess at that stage in maybe 2 years. So I don't know. I was hot for it. I was really turned on and I was turned on by the thought that my hubby was turned on by it, that my, you know, well, he was my boyfriend at the time. So afterwards I messaged hubby, or I think I called him like after the guy left, and I was thinking, you know, oh, there might be potential that I can hook up with this guy again, that he can be part of a ongoing hot wife type thing. You know, I feel safe with him. I feel respected by him. I feel like he genuinely sees me as a person. Something that did strike me during the sex, though, was, you know, sex with someone who you're deeply in love with. Like, making love is very different to just the act of sex. And so I remember feeling that. And I also felt that way the other night during our first in-person experience, that there was something a little, you know, it's just different. Like, you have to know that you're just having sex. You're not making love to anybody. That's what you do with your partner, your husband, your boyfriend, your fiance. You're not making love with these people. You're having sex with them. And ultimately, it's to enhance your relationship with your partner. It shouldn't be at the detriment to your relationship with your partner. These were all learning curves, things I really had to fundamentally understand. So, hubby, boyfriend at the time, he comes over and he emotionally was not in a good place. And he was apologetic. Like, he was like, I thought it would be hot. I thought it would be hot. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. Which ultimately we've realized, like, he just wants to be in the room. He wants to feel powerful. He doesn't want to feel devoid of power. He wants to see everything so he can see it with his eyes, what's happening. So his imagination doesn't go crazy and play tricks on him about what's potentially happening. I think there was a genuine, like, in my eyes, irrational fear, but fear nonetheless, you know, deeply rooted fear that something would happen to our relationship as the result of this encounter. So here I am on one hand, super turned on, and there he is on the other hand, emotionally, you know, quite distraught. So the next 2 weeks were pretty interesting, you know, like, I really feel for him. Like, I feel really bad when I think about that moment when I saw him the way that he was. Like, you know, I was on a high. I was like, oh, we did it, you know, and it was his birthday and I did this really naughty thing. And he was like shattered and confused because he was like, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Why am I feeling this way? And he felt guilty and he felt bad because it was like, I know this has been an enjoyable experience for you. I shouldn't feel this way. But at the end of the day, no matter who it is, it's always about the people in the relationship, not the people that the encounter has been with. You know, it's important to have respect for them as well. Treat them like human beings. But ultimately, we're doing this for us. So, you know, looking back, I did my best to be very supportive of him through that. But I was also like going through all these weird hormones as a result of like being with this other person. So, and then he was also like confused and like he would get horny about it as well. So we were like at the same time, I don't know, like having loads of sex, but then I'm offering him a lot of emotional support and he's going through, quite a state of turmoil. And then I would feel frustrated, which I regret feeling. Like, I don't, you know, I shouldn't follow that kind of feeling. Like, and so then I would be like insensitive. So it was really messy. I think messy is the best way that I can put it. It was really messy. And basically the conclusion after that was he wants to be present. Like, you would think that would be enough for us to go, let's never do that again. But we're still on the train, you know, we're still on the hot wife train. We just like, oh, we just need to rejig how we do things so that we're not ending up in these situations. So, you know, it then fast forward, it takes another, you know, 3.5 years before we actually do anything else. There are other experiences and lessons that I was hoping to be able to cover in this episode, but I'm just thinking it's going to be way too long. So I'm going to end this episode now And I'm going to create another episode where I actually go into the next few guys. There's one guy in particular who really, really rocked the foundations of how we were doing things. I don't want to place too much significance on him, but I can't deny that he had a significant effect on us as a couple in positive ways and negative ways, and in ways I don't fully understand. And I don't want to rush over that experience. So thank you for listening to this episode, which I'm going to call part one. Lessons and experiences. And, I hope you'll join me for episode 3. I am really enjoying making these episodes. And thank you so much for listening. If you want to contact me, my email address is authentichotwife@gmail.com. If you do want to get in touch, by all means, please get in touch. I would love to hear from you. And I'll talk to you soon in the next episode. Bye.